What's happening, everybody? You're now tuning in to the Producers Corner with Spud 2 Titan. Man, I got a hot show for you today. On the phone with me, I have a very gifted and talented, prolific West Coast music producer, man, who's already produced hits for Snoop Dogg, The Game, Xzibit, and the Eastsiders. Please welcome legendary hip-hop producer, DJ Battlecat.
Hey, 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 what it do, what it do?
Hey, what's happening, Battlecat, man?
I'm good. Happy New Year.
Oh, happy New Year to you too, man. Appreciate that, man. You know, before we get into all the details, Battlecat, man, I just want to take my hat off to you, man, from one producer and keyboard player to another, man. You've been producing these hits. You've been coming with it, man. You know, back to back consecutively, man, and you're really consistent with your hits, man. And two of the tracks that really stick out to me that you've done, and some of your older work, man, but it's still timeless, is G'd Up and I Love It. My two classic hits by you, man.
Well, I appreciate that, man. I mean, you know, it's a positive expression of about music, man. That's what it's really all about. I always have been about that ever since, you know, I came into the world. So I really thank my forefathers of music, you know, for that, you know, the George Clintons and Bootsy and Roger Troutman themselves, there's many others, but basically for that style of music right there was definitely inspired by them three pioneers.
Oh, definitely, man. You know, what's cool about you, man, you and I, we share the same interests and influences musically, man. You know, George Clinton, Roger Troutman, Bootsy. I'm also a big George Duke fan, man, you know, because I'm a keyboard player, and, you know, he was able to incorporate that funk into his jazz and, you know, just blend it all together, man. So, yeah, I definitely feel you there, man. You know, the elements, Battlecat, man, I hear in your elements, man, you're using a lot of heavy bass, man, have heavy synth lines, leads. You're a big synthesized guru, man, is what I like to call you, man. And, you know, sometimes as keyboard players, I feel that if your ear isn't really tailored to use synthesizers, man, it can really start to sound cheesy the way you use sounds that are non-acoustic, you know what I mean? And the way you blend your tracks together, the patches that you use, man, they really stand out. And I really think that you've really pioneered the West Coast sound and really took it to another level, man. And, you know, again, hats off to you on that one, man.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate that. I mean, it's definitely been a journey and a learning experience to how the consumers feel about the sound, and definitely have an opportunity to see my earlier days of being a student of musicians and seeing them playing garage and parks and stuff like that, you know, and seeing the expression of how the fans take on to live instrumentation is something that stuck with me, you know. So I knew once I had the opportunity to pick up any of those instruments and fine tune it for myself, I haven't looked back since.
Definitely. You know, you brought out some good points, man. Instrumentation and music, you know, for me, I think a good composition, regardless of what genre it's in, man, it can be performed by a live band in a live situation with other musicians other than tracking on a keyboard. And pretty much all the tracks that I heard from you, man, has that melodic flavor where I hear band parts and band members playing different parts and things. And you definitely write for the live studio atmosphere for the stage. And, you know, again, that's kind of hard to do at times, you know, but again, leaning on that side of that musical side, man, I really think that's really where you stand out as a producer, in my opinion.
Well, I'm very, 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 very grateful for that, because that has been the ultimate confirmation that I have received from people through the years, and especially with the artists giving me the platform and stage to be instrumental, and they were instrumentalists themselves as far as being a vocal and what they love about me in the way that I are, you know, physically and spiritually and into it like I am, you know. And it's something that's very much needed now. I think the new generation definitely needs to grasp at live aspect of it and see the humanitarian side of how people appreciate the fact that you can change the tempo at any given time, or will play a familiar melody or groove that remind you of the earlier days of the love, the first love of music, you know. So I definitely keep that in the presence of everything that I do.
It shows, man. You know, and it's no secret why I think Snoop and a lot of the West Coast and other artists out there really gravitate to your style of production. Because, you know, again, listening to the tracks, I mean, it's a full composition. It goes, to me, I think there's a difference between a track and compositions, you know what I mean? Because your structure, your arrangements, and the different elements you add onto a track, man, it's really a big production when I hear your tracks. And it's commercial and edgy, and you still got that street groove at the same time, where you still can capture the ear listening audience of the streets and also bringing it to the more pop side, to the clubs, and, you know, really making it commercialized, man. And, you know, you're blending those elements very well together, so I appreciate that, man.
yes, and I think that it works well too with even the expression of when a radio station wants to tap into a certain audience or any audience. I see how much more that the music is needed, and how much it has an effect in advertising or conversation or intellectual conversation that is moving. I understand even that much more since I've been older and wiser about music, how much that so much joy that it brings. So that's what I've been doing lately, man, is playing with Lewis Johnson's nephew. It's some young cats out of California, Pasadena, and we been all coming together. So it was a very humbling experience to see the new generation look at me as a Kobe or whatnot, or Magic Johnson of music on their side. And I never really paid attention to how much people from different walks of life in the world that I have touched. So it's, like I said, it's been a humbling experience, and I'm just grateful to be still among the, you know, greats, young greats, and the ones, you know, that's been here already. You know, that's what we need right now, you know, just good music. You know, I know it's taking a turn, and I don't really judge anyone for their movement or interpretation, but we know what a foundation of it comes from. And so once it's reintroduced to the new generation and how music is and how it should be treasured and appreciative, you know, how they should be appreciated, appreciate the warmth and acoustic and analog expression of music, once they see how it's done, then I think music would have a tasteful comeback, you know, because it's here, it's good music, I never die.
Definitely. Now, Batica, you know, man, we've been recording for a while, man. You know, I come from an analog world of recording and tracking before the DAW systems came into the scene and, you know, kind of really making its mark in the recording world. Give me your pros and cons, man, and you know, where you started and where you're at now, what format of recording you're on right now.
How I started is definitely analog. I was introduced to Tascam, which was a four track machine that I was introduced to through Richard Anthony and my man Rich and another gentleman named DJ Quick before he became the legendary, you know, artist DJ Quick, you know. In the makings of the earlier hip hop days, I actually got a chance to see how the recording process was and what it meant to take care of the equipment and how to properly maximize the sound that you're choosing to record. And that paid off for me, and as well as from providing, being part of a production organization that provided sounds for concerts out here in LA, that helped me as well, seeing how amps and crossovers and speakers were disassembled and assembled for an event. That helped me a lot, and as well as having a family member who actually built speakers. I mean, actually built the coils, wrapped the coils in the, between the magnet and the cone for the actual speaker. That gave me an edge and an advance more than the, you know, than the other unfortunate or fortunate, you know, individual. So I took all those things in one gumbo pot and just it and took it with me. And when I got introduced to other equipment, like I never had a chance to experience the digital D88s or the Elises or whatnot. But I've been blessed and spoiled to the game to where others have had it, and I just was put in a comfortable situation to where all I had to do was just maximize the creativity side. But it came a time where I needed to have disclosed location of me, you know, becoming an engineer. I needed that time to grow, you know. And so I say in the year 95 or 6, Pro Tools was introduced to me, to where that changed my life, because the process, I definitely dug, but I seen the difference between tape and digital. You know, it was still some things missing that in my earlier days of making records, like with Domino from, you know, Long Beach, California. My first hit was Ghetto Jam with him through Def Jam. I definitely know the difference between analog and digital. And so what I did was just made sure that I took the analog spectrum and foundation into the digital world. I use Logic. I definitely use Pro Tools 8 and Logic 9. And what I've been showing people that we're close to, or just anyone who really want to know how to put the analog saturation onto a digital, into the digital process, you know. So it's working, you know. So three records that I did for Snoop Dogg, that was Reasons, you know, composed. It was composed from Reasons. And I never looked back and leaving analog alone. I just never looked back as far as taking what I had and made sure that it was respected with the digital world. I made sure that they know that the foundation of it comes from analog or hardware, you know, equipment. And if you look on YouTube, you'll see the making of a song I did for Dog Pound called Cali's Active. And I composed it originally at Snoop Studio up here in Hollywood years ago, and it was done with hardware as well. So they got a chance to see that I'm still old school, but with the today's technology as well. I combine them all, you know. I still prefer tape, you know. I just don't like the process, but I understand the process and I respect it, and things move quicker and fast these days.
Definitely. You know, for everyone that's listening, man, you know, what he's talking about, you know, blending the DAW world with the analog world is creating a signal chain. A signal chain is a line or a list of chains of effects or mic pre's, EQ's, compressions that you're going to use for your, let's say, for example, your bass or your microphone or keys. I like using a signal chain specifically for my keys to give it that more warm sound, and you're flying that directly into your interface or your converters, wherever you're using. That's going to translate into the DAW world, but on the way in, you're going to get that signal going through that hardware. So using that combination of the two is what Battlecat's referring to. But yeah, you know, Battlecat, I want to talk a little bit about your signal chain that you've used on your drums, because to me, I think your foundation, that stank, man, that funk that you put on it, is that library of drums that you have, man. I mean, them things are just pounding the heck out of the speakers when I listen to them in the clubs, in the car. What's the typical signal chain that you're using for your drums and your samples?
Well, really, to tell the truth, is having that ear for the equalization is a major role for me. You know, I am a sound designer, for one. And I just basically, it's no super formula. It's just the choice of elements that I use and combine. I just It's from the heart and it's from my ears, and I wasn't afraid to keep certain things recorded in the red, as long as I can tell the difference between it being distorted and having room to breathe. I definitely, you know, that's a major thing for me. It's really no, you know, my first hit was done on the API, and I definitely used the MP3000, but the sounds that I put together are from acoustic drums as well as sounds that were sampled and combined. But one thing I did do is learn the art of combining sounds and taking the sounds and getting them mastered, then putting them back into the drum machine. So when I do compose a new track, the process is not as difficult as it is when you send it through the board direct, you know, quarter inch through or patch and or whatnot, and it's that's the simple, you know, traditional way. But I think the edge for Battlecat is the how design sounds, and so, and having an EQ with multiple bands where I can get all the ranges that I need out of the sound that I'm sampling. That's another thing that I do a lot. You know, I might run things through a DJ mixer. I like Newmark. Newmark has been good to me. It's a warm, silent mixer, 7-band. I had the 1650 back in the days when I first was coming into the rap industry. But then, like I said, as far as now, everything's just straight, you know, HD system. The coordinates is out, it's going through it. It's just the natural way. There's no really special formula. But I think it's my ear, like I said, it's my ear and how I want to hear. And, you know, and the records that were done before I started making music, I wanted to make sure that everything felt exactly, if not, the closest I can get it, if not exactly. And when I got confirmation from brothers like George Clinton and George Duke, as you spoke on early, they let me know straight off the bat that my sound was true. And these were stereo mixes, or just not even individually tracked. You know, when you're at home composing and you're using a stereo out, this is before I started really getting down and dirty into having my own recording facility. But I let George Duke and Stanley Clark about 6-7 years ago hear my records that I was, you know, at home composing, and they was very pleased about the layers, the quality of the sounds, and the pace. And when they told me that I was the truth, that was enough right there. So I just never changed the formula, you know.
Right.
It worked.
Now, for your processing, I know you're tweaking a lot of your drums. You're running them. Do you prefer the hardware EQs? Do you like some of the software virtual EQs we have now, like Waves SSL 4000 and API Collection from Waves? Do you have any favorites out there? Or
I definitely love the SSL. I love the API, the Wave. I'm really still old school. I'm still, you know, as a studio out here in Los Angeles, I use them both, man. I use the hardware version as well as the software, because I do want to feel the variation of it. So, you know, I like the wire sound through the analog and the tube of the process effects that I use. You can definitely hear the difference. But if I'm at home and I got to do it that way, the ones you named is definitely, you know, I can get it in even with stock plugins, believe it or not, because I've been taught so much.
Right.
Just from the simplicity side of this, you know, presets, I can make the same, you know, similar variation in frequencies and that I would do if I had a Wave, you know, it was at a time I didn't have Wave and Platinum, but I still got it in with the stock plugins,
sure,
which made me appreciate this, the basics of what Digi Design would give to you.
Right. It just lacks the color from the hardware. You know what I mean? The clean signal is just, we're missing that color that we're used to hearing out the hardware.
Yes. And I've been doing some comparison, and I'm still in the beginning stage of doing that. You know, like plugging up the same hardware as well as what's in Wave or the new UAD, you know, the full complete package of that. I like that. That's definitely an A-plus for me, you know, because it's right there. It's where I come from. So, you know, then I've been spending time with DJ Quick a lot because he's been a mentor to me as far as the process of mixing and stuff like that. You know, he was two years ahead of me in a sense as far as making records, but we both started at the same time making beats, but he learned earlier before I did, so I kind of like look up to him and Dre. You know, I've been in the room plenty of times with Dre,
right?
And it's been a pleasing experience.
Definitely. You know, I always tell other producers, man, I said, you know, I said, I think your sound is going to change sonically, I think, when you become more hands-on with your mix. You know, it's great to track, but I really defined my sound as a producer when I really became more hands-on with the mix. You know, it's good to have a relationship with an engineer. You're going to have somebody on the side with you, but, it, you know, I'd feel sonically, man, I could really only bring up my ideas out of my head. You know, mm-hmm. instead of me telling you to drive for me, I have to really dig in and, you know, get more hands-on with it. So, yeah, I agree with you there. You know, your synths, Bad, okay, I want to talk about some of the synths you use, man. I mean, are you using a combination of software synths? Are you really going back to your Mini Moogs and the Nords and some of the other synths that I know you've used back in the day? Are you still having that in your arsenal? Or did you cross over?
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, I use them both. I'm not even going to lie. I mean, because my philosophy is comparing the analog versus digital, and you can definitely tell I don't like the warmth that is not there in Reason, stuff like that, you know. So I don't use too much of Reasons. I like what it can do. It's definitely a nice writing material, you know, a product you can use, but for the warmth that you don't have to doctor up as much before you bounce it or import export into a folder before you dump into Pro Tools, I prefer using Logic because I really haven't studied the history of Logic, but I love the warmth that is there. And between me, Dre, and a few other cats, we do use Logic. But as far as analog, yes, I still have my Mini Moog. I have the ARP 26, I have the ARP Ensemble, I have the Wurlitzer, I have the 73 Rode Suitcase. What else? Man, there's so many little toys that I use that's analog. I mean, it's a must to me. They're in tip-top condition. I went and got MIDI kits put in a couple of them. Mm-hmm. Except for the Fender Rhodes, I would never do.
Right.
But in Logic, they have a lot of things that are similar or have similarities as far as frequency tone. But I love to have them both in the room so I can see where I need to make up, you know. And like you said, the mixed game play a major role. And what I've been doing is making templates and effect templates inside that I run certain software synths through in Logic, and it works for me, you know, as long as I can have at least a good 70%. It would never be 100% on, but at least 60 to 70%. I'm just being honest, because we know it's not the exact warmth and feel that you want, but the process and the memory and being able to save everything and recall it up is a blessing, man, at any given time.
It is. You know, I'm an avid Logic Pro user myself. I've been using Logic, man, for years now. And you know, I tell a lot of guys who use Logic, well, you know, just don't use Logic just for tracking, man. It goes so much further in a production if you really dig into it. It really is, to me, in my opinion, the all-in-one box for any producer. I mean, I have a trickery for setting up templates, like pre-made templates that when you log in to Logic, you're just ready to track. I mean, you don't have to pull things left and right. I already have my templates pre-made. All of my samples that I have, all of my drums, my kicks, my snares, I dump those right into ESX24, and I've went as far as the extra mile in assigning each kick to its own virtual audio channel, and all my kicks have their own virtual audio channel. So they're not
stereo.
You know what I mean?
Smart man.
That's the key. And you know, you're kind of pulse mixing as you're tracking. You know what I mean? That's the ticket, in my opinion.
Well, excuse me for not really identifying pulse and them type of. I mean, the real proper names, but, you know, I've been hands-on freestyling for a long time. I mean, the professional side of me touching it and really mastering what I'm using, it's really there. It's definitely really there, man. And I can't wait for one day for you to come to Los Angeles or I'm out in your town and I'm mixing or composing something from scratch, and I would love for you to be a part of the whole process of how Battlecat get it in.
Oh, that'd be lovely, man. You know, since we're Logic users, man, I set myself up some screen capture software, man. So if there's a run-through that you need, I can create a video template with audio right through the studio, and you can watch it on screen and navigate. And, you know, I do a couple of guys like that, you know, with Logic. There's something specific that you need. Yeah, definitely, man.
That is incredible.
Yeah, I want to definitely see how you got it popping. But, you know, Battlecat, your compositions, I got to ask you, man, and, you know, a lot of producers got their own form is what they do. You know, I just want to tell you what I do, and then you can kind of add on to it, man, because with your experience, I'm sure there's some notes I'm taking. You know, when I create a track for somebody, you got an artist that's coming into the session, and, you know, you got a basic track of what they can flow to or sing to. And, you know, what I usually do is after they leave the studio and I got maybe 85-90% of the vocals complete, I like to strip the track down to zero again and create the melodies and arrangement and rhythm around the pre-existing vocals that I have, you know, because for me, the way my ear runs, it's like, man, I can really give everybody their own identity if I'm creating around the artist versus just giving them a track and letting them go on their way. Then everybody kind of has the same type of flow just because I'm adding all tracks, man. What's your key elements of production that really defines each artist that you produce?
If there's been someone who's definitely been around, my theory is collecting all the material that they ever done, even on other people's records, just so I can hear the performance on each record that was, you know, that gave them the expression that came off like it did for it to be, you know, a good record. So the characteristics of how they write and perform is a very important thing to me to be able to capture the my thing and my theory for them too. And I like that aspect of all that format you try too. I haven't been successful like that and that theory, being able to strip something from scratch with the vocals already done. Because I've just been in a situation where that when they hear what I'm doing and they own it, it is what it is.
Right.
But I know that coming across you know, different people who will want to give me the opportunity to come a whole nother direction with it is a blessing. You know, if it's enough creative time to do so, then I would do it like that. You know, virtually. Run everything live, MIDI. I never really track it. I might have it up and running, and it's locked with the tape machine, or it's locked with Pro Tools, and they're ready to go on the fly. I let it run, and I do a few arrangements, definitely, after the vocals done. I do take that approach, you know, and it works, you know. And then they put it down permanently, and then you can't make the arrangements, or you got to tear it down and make other arrangements. So I basically get down like that too. I did a few records like that with Faith Evans, Faithfully did with Bad Boy. We did it that way, like you did, you know. But it didn't totally get taken down because she liked it, the foundational work inspired her to write like she did, and whatnot. But that's it, man. I mean, that's it. What can I say? I mean, there's so many different ways to approach a song to be composed. You know, to be composed. Some people that they musically are driven first. They need the music to actually do them.
Exactly.
And that's good, but then again, it's not good. You know, I really like to be in there like it's a jam session. and however it come up is what it is, you know.
Right, definitely, definitely. I hear you there, man. You know, the new track that you did on Snoop's new album, man, Malice in Wonderland, Secrets. A lot of people don't know, man, that's a throwback. You took it back on me back in the 80s on that one, man.
I had to do it. I mean, it was a record that was for my record. You know, I've been working on a record off and on for a while myself. A lot of people didn't know. But Snoopy was definitely an 80s baby. You know, he's real musical, and you know, he'll surprise you sometimes just being around him. He's got this jukebox, and it's amazing what comes out of it and how much he is in tune with the culture of music, not just the record itself, but the lifestyle and everything.
Wow.
So he called me on it. He said, "Cat, I need something funky," but he didn't say West Coast, he didn't say gangster. He just said, "I need something funky, like the record you did on your album called Secrets." And I texted him back and said, "Man, if that song is actually still here and available, would you like to be instrumental in it?" He said, "Sure." And it happened. It was funny because I did it on a Tascam 2424, which is a hard disk recorder, and I actually liked the sound of it, you know.
Right.
And but I couldn't retrieve the information off of it for some reason, or it was too much. The time was flying by, so I had the same equipment that was used to compose it, so I went and created it again. And I'm thinking Snoopy was gone and out of town, and he came and popped up on me while I was doing the bass line live, all the way down, you know, live instrumentation style, you know.
Yeah.
And it was real fun, man. That was a fun record, man. I'm so grateful that you got your ears open on such classics like that. You know, not many people know what time it is.
Well, I'm in my mid-30s, man, so I'm kind of hitting up there. So, but you know,
don't tell it.
Yeah, you know how it is, man. But you know, I love what you did with it because there's a twist on it. It's got that Battle Cat twist. You know what I mean? It goes beyond the cover, man. The feel's there, but again, you have that Battle Cat twist that really brought my ears closer to the song. You know what I mean? And again, it just stands out, man. You have such a great ear for composition, and you know, I feel that pioneers, man, we create music, but it the real innovators and the real prolific producers, man, are creating something that hasn't been created yet. And it also is hot because everybody that's hearing it for the first time is gravitated to that style, man. And you know, I think that everyone who hears your style, like you say, man, it's already pre-made, man. As soon as they hear it, bam, it's an instant hit.
Well, I appreciate that, man. There's many more to come as well. Like I said, I'm really growing now in a lot of R&B, man. I really haven't showed the world my side of R&B, but I've been so grateful to produce records for Kenny Lattimore and Raphael Sadiq and Deborah Cox as well. So that definitely are more artists that go up under the, you know, the discography or whatnot of the body of work I have produced. But the R&B side and pop side is where I'm at as well, you know, right now.
But you know, the conversion for the artist is going to be easy because you have a musical side to you. You know what I mean? You have melodies. And again, I talk a lot about structure, song structure, and chord progressions and melody lines. This is what gravitates R&B artists to producers, man. When you got those solid melodies and foundation, your tracks are going to be timeless. They won't be played out 10 years from now. You know what I mean? And I think that's why you're really successful in the game, man. A lot of people want to work with you because you got that funky edge. But again, you still got that progression. You got to learn how to play if you want to play some of your covers. You know what I mean?
Exactly. You're so right about that. And I've been among greatness lately, like I said, the brothers Johnsons, you know, their nephews. I've been around these cats, and it's a lot of young, talented producers just making sure that Battle Cat has what he needs. So you're gonna hear more music and more progression and more celebration of good music this new year coming around. You really will hear from me more. But I'm so grateful that you have given me the opportunity to express what I've been up to and the music that is still here to come.
Man, appreciate you, man. And what's on the new, what you got on the plate, man, other than tracking hits? I know you also serve as Snoop's DJ. Well, you guys are on tour, man. You're his touring DJ, man. That's got to be hot, man. What else you got on the plate?
Yeah, well, I've been hired by a gentleman named Mr. David Banner from Mississippi, and he uniquely has put three gentlemen together. You know, him himself, Knife Wonder from Carolina, and myself. We're all together, and I've mixed his whole new album that he's putting together, and it's coming out incredible. I mean, you know, the artist and producer part right there is very unique. I mean, you never know, you know, but I'm so grateful to get that opportunity. Definitely on the R&B side, Faith Evans again, she's working on a new album. It's incredible. John B's new album. I'm actually working on my brother. He's our LA Jay-Z / I say corrupt as far as lyrical or like a rock him. You know, he's very positive and conscious, but yet still street. But you know, he's the artist that's going to give hope, you know, to do these trying times. And that's what I always wanted. You know, I've been such a fan of Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five because they have brought so much of a positive expression over funk and hip hop, and that's what I want to get back to as far as what's coming out of Los Angeles, California.
Definitely.
You know, we're West Coast, but we're international as far as the love and the expression of positive music as far as, you know, what I'm working on and what I'm pushing, you know. So, you know, and another thing too I'm putting together is a documentary and a new tutorial educational package for young producers who want to learn the real art of engineering and how to properly record and get their music off here and there. You know, I'm part of the NAMM convention that's happening too out here in Los Angeles, where all the products in the world, you know, that ever made the equipment that, you know, we so love, they had me as a panel for a couple of products. I don't want to say the names, but they are known DJ product that the DJs have using over the years. And definitely just going to be educating people through this new year and giving them good music, man. That's just where it's at, man.
Yeah.
Good relationship and a clear head and direction with a beautiful heart to go with it. You know, that's just it. We just had to reintroduce what it was then and it's still here now. You know, that's my responsibility, man. So that's what Battlecat has for the future.
Man, that's what's up, Battle Cat, man. And again, legend, man. Well, back, I don't want to keep you too long, man. I appreciate you coming on my show, man, and chopping it up with me, sharing your expertise and knowledge, man. And, man, we got to get together and do some things, man.
Yes, we will. Yes. I salute and take an oath to that invitation in collaborating with you, for real. I really, really want the experience, you know?
Oh, man, we'll kill it, man.
All right.
All right, man. You take it easy, man. Happy New Year, man.
Yes, you too. Likewise. God bless, my man. Thank you.
Peace.
Peace.
And shout out to DJ Battlecat, man, for coming on the show and chopping it up with me, man. And, you know, I've been following his career since he hit the scene, listening to all his music that he's produced for all the artists, man. And it hit after hit. I mean, he's really consistent of bringing out good music. And he's definitely inspired me as a keyboard player, man, of keeping it funky, but also maintaining that melodic structure and progressions. You know, but he's also one of the few guys that I've heard that really knows how to rock a key bass on a keyboard, man. And a key bass is playing like a bass line, bass solo on the keyboard. And, you know, like I said, he uses a lot of the old Moog stuff, the old gritty, grungy type saw bass lines, man, and just keeping that West Coast funk behind it, man, it really stands out. And it's funky on hip hop track and it's funky on an R&B track. So those are one of his sonic signatures that you'll notice from Battlecat a lot in his tracks, man. And it's just fire. And I want to thank you for joining in and listening today, man. It was a hot show. And for those of you that want to contact me for questions and suggestions, you can hit me up at my email address. And that's spud2tight@gmail.com. And if you want to listen to some of my past interviews I've done, you can hit my website up at www.spud2tightmusic.ning.com.
bootsymusic.com. And I'm also available on iTunes under podcast for music. So if you type in Producer's Corner with Spot Too Tight, you'll see my image. Just click on it and you can listen to my podcast on iTunes as well. And what I'm going to do is just let an instrumental play out that was composed and produced by Battle Cat, man. It's just another one of his funky instrumentals, man. And I'm just going to let that play out for the remaining of the show. And I want to thank you guys for listening in. Until next time, you guys keep it tight. Peace.